The ministers here at Central, it's lovely to see you all here, and wow, aren't they amazing? Let's give the musicians, the readers, and everyone else a big round of applause. Well, I don't know what you feel about Christmas. Some of us love it all. The carols, the lights, the time with family and friends, the parties, the food, the presents, the TV specials. Some of us love the Christmas that we are beginning. But for others of us, and perhaps amongst us here this evening, Christmas is a particularly difficult time of year. Perhaps it's a time where we're reminded of what we once had, but lost. Or perhaps what we never had at all. We long for a better Christmas. But whether that Christmas that we're longing for is one that's in the past, or whether it's a Christmas that you're getting into right now, I think we're all thinking the same sort of thing. We're thinking this. Take me back to Bethlehem. Take me to a Christmas where I'm away from the disappointments, the difficulties, the darkness of the world around us. We all want to go back to Bethlehem, to that real, authentic Christmas, to the wonder in children's faces, to the twinkling lights, to the Christmas feels you get when your favourite festive film starts, to the excitement, the anticipation, to the warmth of family and friends around a table full of food and friendship. We all want to go back to Bethlehem, to turn from the winter to Christmas, to turn from the disappointments, the difficulties, the darkness, and towards the light, the life, and the love of Christmas. But is all this just a distraction? Is it a brief blip of light before the darkness of winter continues in January? Take me back to Bethlehem, or am I just burying my head in the sand? Because come January, the world around us will still have its problems. Well, take me back to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, as with most places in Israel and Palestine at the moment, Bethlehem right now is a place of difficulty. It's a place of darkness and disappointment and pain and grief. And the Bethlehem that we've been hearing about in these readings, well, it was much the same at the first Christmas. But friends, it was into that Bethlehem, not the Bethlehem of our nostalgia, not the Bethlehem of our hopes, but into a real, broken, confused Bethlehem that a baby was born 2,000 years ago. We've already heard the story this evening, helped by our wonderful readers, and we've heard about the angel saying to Mary about the baby's birth, that God will give him, that's the baby, the throne of his father David. The angel said that he will rule over the throne of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Another reading told us that after the angel spoke to Joseph, well, we're told that one of the things that the baby will be called is Emmanuel, God with us. One of the other readings told us that the baby was to be born in King David's royal city. And the shepherds were told, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a saviour, a rescuer, who is Christ the Lord." One of our other readings told us of how the wise men came from the east, from Persia, from Iran, and they came to worship the one who was born to be the king. Take me back to Bethlehem, not to escape, but take me back to Bethlehem, to this divine king who stepped in. Take me back to Bethlehem. Well, in our final reading just now, Joanna read for us some words that the prophet Isaiah wrote about this Bethlehem baby's birth. They were written centuries beforehand, and they tell us more about the kind of king that this Bethlehem baby is going to be. We're told three things about him. The first thing we're told is about his identity. So often in our world, we see that power is held by people who aren't up to it. Just turn on your news and you will see that. They've perhaps been born into a life of privilege, but they don't have what it takes. Whilst those who have what it takes, have so much to give, well, they're locked out. But this Bethlehem baby, well, Isaiah describes him as the right person. He is in the family of Israel's greatest king, King David. You see that there in verse 1? Jesse was the name of David's father, and this baby is described as being like a shoot sprouting from the tree stump, from the stump of Jesse. At the time of Jesus' birth, David's royal descendants, well, they were most definitely not in power. They were commoners. They were just normal people like us. It was as if a great tree had been felled. But the true king would come. This Bethlehem baby was the right person with the right lineage. He was born to sit on the throne. But he wasn't just the right person. He was born with the right abilities. So this Bethlehem baby was the Son of God in human form, and God's Spirit would rest upon him to equip him to be the good king that we need. Do you see it on the screen? He would have wisdom and understanding that he might lead in the right way. He would be given counsel and might that he might have strength to lead in that right way. He would have knowledge and the fear, that means respect, for God. He would live in the right way. In our broken world, doesn't that kind of king sound like the kind of king, the kind of leader that we need? So first, we see the king's identity, the right person with the right ability. But we see more in this passage. You see, the picture continues and we see a bit more about the reign that this Bethlehem baby would have as king. And we see that he is good, both inwardly and outwardly. He both thinks and desires to do the right thing inside himself, and he lives it out in the rest of his life. In our broken world, where we're so often hurt and let down by others, where we ourselves are so often guilty of acting in selfish and greedy ways, well, doesn't this sound so attractive? Verse 3 tells us, it's on the screen, tells us that this Bethlehem baby's delight will be in the fear of the Lord. Again, that word fear means treating God rightly. It means respect. It means obeying him. Jesus said later in his life that all the instructions that God gives can be summed up in two phrases. Love God with everything you have and all you are. That's number one. Secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are famous words, but they are so hard to do if we're honest with ourselves. But this Bethlehem baby, this king, he doesn't just do this. He delights to do it. That's the kind of king he is. He's good through and through. There's not a whiff of hypocrisy. He's authentic. He's not selfish or greedy, but he delights to love God and love others. So he's going to rule fairly and justly and powerfully, not preferring or favouring those who have over those that don't have, nor the other way around. No, verse 5, have a look at it on the screen. The thing that will characterise this Bethlehem baby king is that he's righteous and that he's faithful. He's good, he's ethical, he's moral, he's true, he's steady, and he's upright. And in our broken world where we have so many flawed and failing and fallen leaders, both nationally, locally, in our churches, well, take us back to Bethlehem, right? Take us back to Bethlehem, to the kind of king that we need but also want, one whose reign is good, just, and authentic. That's the second thing we see there. We see about the king's reign. The third thing we see is about the way the world is when this king reigns. Now, the final bit of the reading that Joanna read for us explains the kind of the effect that this Bethlehem baby king's reign will have on the world. There was three verses there. I'm just going to read one, and it's on the screen. Isaiah describes this reign as being like this: the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. That doesn't sound like it's going to happen. It doesn't sound like it's going to be pretty. It sounds like it's going to be pretty gruesome with blood and guts. This is not literal. It's poetic. But you get the point. Something major has to change in the way of things. Well, when this Bethlehem baby king reigns, this is what's going to happen. The predator and the prey will stop their endless fight. We live in a world, don't we, where the strong prey upon the weak, whether it's on the international stage or whether it's in the school playground. But when this Bethlehem baby king reigns, when he begins his kingly rule in its fullness, well, they shall coexist in peace, in safety, and in unity. There will be no more war. There will be no more conflict. There will be no more bullies. There will be no more strife between different communities. There will be no more fighting in our families. And at the moment, that seems about as unlikely as a wolf and a lamb coexisting peacefully in the same place. But isn't that what we all want? Isn't it what we all want when we turn on our news, whether it's the national news or our local news? There have been shootings and stabbings here in Sheffield. There's been wars non-stop in multiple parts of the world. There's abuse, there's grieving families. But the wonderful promise of this Bethlehem baby king is that one day he will reign the whole world. And one day the whole world will be full of the knowledge of him. One day, predator and prey will be able to coexist peacefully. It's not happened in its fullness yet, but we look forward to the day when this King Jesus returns and completes the work that he's begun. So take us back to Bethlehem, not to escape our world, but to see the King who stepped into this world. Not to run away from our problems, but to see him come in to fix them. This poem in Isaiah finishes by saying that this baby will be lifted up as a signal for the whole world. Lifted up that we might see, that we might go and find out more about him. So let's go back to Bethlehem this Christmas. Not just to all the Christmas trappings, as wonderful as they are, but let's go back to Bethlehem to see the one that all of this is in honour of. The baby King Jesus, born in Bethlehem, born as the right person with the right abilities to be the king that we need, born to reign with goodness, justice, authenticity, and born to bring peace to every broken relationship. This Christmas, why don't you go back to Bethlehem and see him for yourself? Maybe you want to do that for the first time. Maybe you're here this evening and you're curious. You've got questions. You want to find out answers. Well, please take a Bible. We've got a stack of Bibles down here at the front. They're free for you to take to read for yourself. Maybe you want to come back to one of our other Christmas events that are happening this Christmas. Maybe you want to come back in the new year and be part of a discussion group where a few people will be gathering to think about the world that we all want. But maybe you're here and you're already a follower of this Bethlehem baby. Well, friends, let's keep on going back to him, not distracted by all the Christmas trappings, but letting them point us to him. Friends, this Christmas, let's go back to Bethlehem, not to escape, but to see the King that has stepped in to fix and to bring peace. Amen. Musicians, if you'd like to come up. We're going to take a moment of quiet just while the musicians get ready. But what is it that you feel like that God is saying to you through this talk? Perhaps you've got questions. Perhaps something else has popped into your head. We're just going to take a moment of quiet and then we're going to sing our final song.